Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first, and frankly, as far as I'm concerned, probably the only season of Pennyworth. We're going to spoil all things, not only about this series, but other incarnations of Batman, such as Gotham and stuff, as far as we've seen, that cover Alfred and such. Now, we've watched the 10 episodes that originally aired on Epics. Mm-hmm. And
I think around episode 6, you summed up really well how you were feeling about the show.
It might have been 5, but at one point I actually paused it, turned to you and said, do you want to continue watching this?
Oh, I thought you summed it up even better when you said I was more excited about the show before we started watching it.
We marathoned the first 7, I think, and then watched the other 3 today. And I think between them, it's like, yeah, I was more of a fan of the show before watching it. This show hit a number of buttons that are just, you know, major turnoffs for me.
Okay, well, my objection number one,
mm-hmm.
right out of the gate in the first episode, see for once, starting with the first episode, I would like to know when and where the show is taking place. You can be on another Earth. That's fine with me. You can be on my Earth.
There was nothing to tell us that despite being from Bruno Heller, the person behind Gotham, whether this was in or out of continuity with Gotham. So maybe it is, maybe it's not. What we've since found out indicates it's not. But whereas Gotham, and granted, we've gotten just barely past a season in on that before it got a little gory for my tastes. That had a timeless couple of decades back vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
70s-ish. You know?
I mean, they had cell phones, but that was a convenience to make the story flow faster. That wasn't part of the 70s, but the cars were the 70s.
But they didn't have computers and right. such. You know, it was dated, but within, you know, your lifetime or your parents' lifetime kind of thing.
Yes.
This was set maybe the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. They had television. They had televised hangings. They had cars. Yet they had horse-drawn carriages. It was...
And not touristy horse-drawn carriages.
No. On some of the major, you know, traffic things out in the sticks, you know, it's like, you know, a horse and buggy on this side, automobiles on this side kind of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because, oh, it's rural. But it was one of those where it was not so much timeless, but unanchored in time.
Yes. That's a really good way to put it.
It was hard to tell, because there was one reference to, you know, the space program in the 60s or whatever, sending the man to the moon. Okay, that put it a little further forward and stuff, yet when you're doing televised executions and stuff, which I don't believe ever happened in our world.
Yeah,
again, alternate timeline.
I was trying to figure out when were even the last public executions in London. When was the tower last used to confine criminals? Because we had 2 criminals confined at the Tower of London.
Yeah, it felt not dated, but historically inaccurate. And it's its own timeline, whatever. It doesn't need to be historically accurate, but it was off-putting at the beginning.
It was distracting. Because
yes.
Every time I thought I had a sense of when the show was taking place, and then could kind of anchor my expectations accordingly, they shifted it. Okay? We come in on big band music, and I think, okay, so we're in the 20s, and then we cut to people dancing like it's the 60s.
I think you were hit more by some of the cultural, historical inaccuracies, particularly with how they dealt with the royals and stuff like that, whereas I was hit a lot by, they're doing this, it's Alfred Pennyworth, Batman's butler, we have Thomas Wayne, we've got Martha, who will presumably become Martha Wayne. Yet, Thomas Wayne's not a doctor, as he typically is in the comics. He's a CIA spy in London.
And some kind of forensic analyst.
Yeah, forensic accounting analyst or whatever. Maybe that was his cover. I don't know. But there were so many things that it's like, how do they think this could ever set up Bruce Wayne, Batman, Alfred in his classic position?
I think we were 6 or 7 episodes in when I asked you, why would Martha Kane ever go on a date with Thomas Wayne?
I felt they shoehorned that in the last 2 episodes of we got to get them together and boom, they're there. I think there was a lot of times, like with Alfred's father's cancer, they felt that they had set it up with one cryptic coughing spasm versus, I mean, we never saw the guy go to a doctor.
Oh, no.
And I had taken that scene because he's going by a political poster, you know, seeming to be all for it, raising his fist and stuff in the air. And then his coughing, and it's like, did somebody see him? Did he, you know, back down or something like that? Not suddenly he's deathly ill and he's about to die.
Yeah.
There were so many aspects here where I felt the storytelling, particularly initially, was slow, was unclear. I couldn't tell where they thought they were going and kind of where they thought they had gone.
Yeah, I don't know after 10 episodes where they think they've taken me, what journey they think they took me on.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff that this Alfred has done seems highly unlikely that he would ever be the type to be a guardian of an, what, 8 or 10 year old or whatever, who just lost his parents. It just...
He doesn't strike me as someone with self-restraint.
Would he work for this Thomas Wayne, much less as a butler?
He turns to this Thomas Wayne when he needs help in the end.
When he needs help, he'll turn to anybody.
Very true.
He's very pragmatic about that.
Yes, he will make a devil's bargain.
And there were a couple of places, like the love interest he has at the beginning. She gets killed. Who killed her was a bit of a mystery for a bit. We get handed the pieces to solve it or whatever. And it's like, who the hell is this guy? And this is his motivation? Something from years back? Just an offhand joke or whatever? He plots this guy, you know, waits for the guy to get a fiance and then kills her?
That was meant to be the payoff on the PTSD storyline, because all the PTSD stuff vanished when that was resolved, which is why I take it as having been meant to be the payoff on the PTSD storyline.
Which but fails on multiple levels.
For me, it fails on every level for the PTSD storyline.
Because I was wondering, with all the PTSD that we were seeing with Alfred and stuff early on, it's like, how is this guy ever going to get over this? And then he just magically does.
Or we magically no longer see it, which is equal frustration.
Speaking of magic and no longer seeing it, when Alfred encounters the witch, who mysteriously predicts some future events, that gets us to, oh, this is the guy who killed Esme or whatever, but then she's never seen again. And there are plot threads that just are out there and gone, and other plot threads we just couldn't get rid of.
Well, by the same token, though, the person who sent him to the witch, we kept saying after that, it feels like he's on false trail. It would make more sense if he was on false trail.
Mm-hmm.
Because, really, his fiance's death knocked him off his game, but it also put him in a position to be manipulated.
Yeah, but the guy who manipulated him, John Ripper?
Yeah.
Which, again, we're lost in time. Is this somehow related to Jack the Ripper? Whatever. But this is one of the big crime bosses of this local area that Alfred encounters early on, negotiates successfully with, but then shows up and is suddenly buddy-buddy with Alfred. It's like, where did this come from? And then he's, this Ripper guy is involved with one of the political parties, because the whole thing is around this huge brewing civil war going on in England. And the guy is involved with that, and then suddenly we see him walking away as other people are getting carted off, never to be seen again.
Well, it was implied he was at least cooperating with the CIA.
How do you figure?
Well, when Thomas Wayne had the meeting with the guy at the embassy with the CIA, and he was laying out the only way things make sense is if you have someone else in with the no names who has...
Got it. And the guy was saying, yeah, we've got somebody well placed.
Yeah.
But that thread never really paid off. So that supposition, that's what's going on. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in what we saw for that. But this whole bit with the No Name League versus the Raven Society and all that stuff.
The No Name League is a secret society that comes out of the shadows, gets on the ballot, and the No Name League wants you to vote for a specific name because they are the No Name League that supports specific names.
Their name was ludicrous. I kept wondering if they were doing it just so they could keep referencing the League, as in the Justice League.
Mm.
I didn't care for all the political stuff. I certainly didn't care for the level of spy intrigue. And I like spy intrigue.
Mm, yeah.
But the players they had doing it made no sense. I don't see Thomas and Martha Wayne as international spies.
Well, it was a combination of that and the intrigue they had going on didn't make sense, in part because they tinkered with what I understand to be the political situation in England before they started. They altered the balance between the prime minister and the monarch,
mm-hmm.
and then went from there. So I was off balance from the start.
Yeah, and the fact that the entire culture is just a little off, again, televised executions and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it was hard to really buy into for me.
I mean, we were told at one point that one of the groups wanted to create a fascist utopia. One wanted to create a socialist utopia. So they made the Britain we were in more of a monarchist state than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you leave it how it currently is, it comes across as too socialist. So having somebody trying for a socialist utopia...
It's hard to have both of those extreme if... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other place where this really lost me was just... And again, it's, you know, a cable network versus, you know, network TV. The level of gore.
A combination for me of the level of gore and, frankly, 1990s and beyond profanity. If we're somewhere between the 1930s and the 1960s.
The profanity was excessive, but failed to turn me off as much as the excessive gore.
Mm.
To the point that I literally could not watch parts of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need some of those images in my brain.
I agree.
I thought they were particularly distasteful. I think they were extreme and unneeded.
I was going to say, they were not furthering the plot.
They were gratuitous. Massively gratuitous. There are ways they could have had the execution of various people without it having to be so in our face.
Mm-hmm.
And the maiming of one of the key characters throughout the story, I did not need to see. Hence, the likelihood of me coming back for a second season of this, and they are filming a second season of this, close to zero.
Well, what I went into this wanting was the backstory of Alfred.
Well, yeah. Who is this guy? How did he wind up in Gotham as a butler to the Waynes and able to be kind of the right man for the job, to raise Bruce and be his right-hand man for this whole Batman crusade thing?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things they could have done. I mean, this Alfred in this show apparently got into the army at age 16. He's about 26 now. He's been 10 years in the army. And it has these 10 years. He's really experienced, yet he's still a young man trying to find his way in the world. So which is it? Is he an experienced soldier or is he still kind of making his way? Now, I didn't think they balanced that well.
They didn't capture the feeling lost because he no longer has the army, the ranks, the order, the I know where my place is and what my role is.
But even then, he was 10 years in and referred to as a plebe or whatever, like he was the doer of things, not the commander of things.
Well, but when he was referred to as a plebe, he was being referred to as servant class.
Okay, fair enough. I guess I'd taken it he never got, even with his other buddies, of sufficient rank to be ordering anybody to do anything.
But with his other buddies, they were all equal rank.
Fair enough.
It was always, you know, when did you get promoted over us?
Yeah.
But they definitely played some of the class imbalance and class warfare.
Oh, absolutely. That was a large part of a lot of what was going on here. I guess if I were going to do this sort of a story, you know, origin of Alfred type stuff, and I think there's plenty of material. That's why I was excited to see this. Give him some years in the military. Makes perfect sense. He's good at it, but doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have gotten him out after about 5 years, not 10.
They seem to have prolonged World War II to give him those 10 years.
Even that doesn't make sense, but yeah.
Which is part of the whole, they really messed with my timeline.
I just think 10 years out of 26 years of life.
Yeah, I agree.
Is a little crazy. But I would have had him out of that, trying to find his way in the world. Definitely have his father be the butler, so you've got that. And have him have to help out from time to time as he's trying to figure out what he wants to do in life. Have his mother, instead of just being, I guess, a housewife?
She seemed to have a job also, but I wasn't clear what it was.
I'd have had her be a nurse.
Yeah.
And I'd have had him get conscripted into having to help out at the hospital from time to time. Something to where it's like he can find his way around a fancy dinner party, a medical situation, not as a doctor or whatever, but he's got some field training.
Well, and I think, interestingly enough, the love interest they brought in for him would have given him an interesting third avenue because she was an actress.
That was actually one of my biggest disappointments with her is in the comics, Alfred has this theater background. And if he had been helping out in the theater, both in terms of doing some of the wardrobe, some of the set stuff, some of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if we had basically followed him through 10 episodes and he's spending a little time being a cabbie, being, working at a tailor shop, at a restaurant or something, the hospital, you know, doing just accumulating experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as a mechanic for a little bit or something like that. Just whatever needs to be done because it's hard times. There's no steady jobs. Man, if you're willing to work, there's stuff to do.
Well, from that perspective, I would have put him possibly disgruntled after World War II and having, or World War I rather, and having done more than just the required military service after that and have him kind of ride it out, but then have him come to the U.S. only to arrive just in time for the Depression. And that's why he's picking up jobs anywhere he can get them.
I would have had it happen in London, and then after a little bit, if it's not working out or whatever, have some other way to get him to the States. And if you'd gone with what I was suggesting, the mom works at a hospital, maybe that's where Dr. Thomas Wayne is one of the you know, philanthropists for whatever. You know, there are ways to hook stuff in. And if you've got somebody who's seen as just, this is a guy who gets stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need, he could do it kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Somebody could take notice of him and say, I need you. And not as, I need you as a driver on these spy missions or something.
Yeah. I need you to go on missions where there will be no guns and, oops, here's a gun, kill somebody.
Yeah. And again, we see Alfred being a quick thinker, an improvisational kind of, you know, solver of problems and stuff, which was cool. But even some of those things, like the whole bit with the computer or whatever, nothing.
Yeah, no payoff.
No payoff.
Yeah, I agree.
It just felt like it was a little all over the map. The main story thread I thought was a bit ridiculous, over the top, and excessively gory in places, which is a complete turnoff for me.
Well, in the beginning, the Americans didn't seem to be tied to either Raven Society or No Name League. They seem to be a third entity.
Yeah, but doing that kind of almost nation building inside of the UK seems kind of both ludicrous and the level of fighting on the streets that we'd seen.
Yeah.
Stretched the boundaries. I think if it had just been, it's post-World War II or whenever you want to set it, it's hard times, at least for Alfred and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are other people who are living high on the hog, so there's money to be had.
Yeah.
You know, get him to where he's intersecting with all walks of life and gaining the life experience he would need to coach Bruce or whatever. But also, again, that's, I don't want to say subplot, but that angle of we get Martha early, we get Thomas even earlier. I mean, Thomas Wayne was in and out of the first few episodes with is he coming back?
Well, and he wasn't very likable.
Not at all. Not at all. There were aspects at the beginning of the show that reminded me of some Marvel Cinematic stuff in terms of this Thomas Wayne was similar to Tony Stark's father. Mm-hmm. Alfred is kind of a very different take on Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you almost have Martha in kind of that Agent Carter role. I mean, it's not the same thing, but yeah. It's not radically different. And the bottom line is it's not canonical precursor to Batman. And I'll give them a little leeway if they want, well, you know, the Waynes never really seem to leave Gotham in the comics, much less spend however much time Thomas did here in the UK working for the CIA, which just doesn't make sense to me. It I couldn't see how that Thomas and Martha, one, would ever get together, although magically they do, and two, why Alfred would ever work for them.
Yeah.
Use them, partner with them, maybe. But to go back to America, live with them, whatever, made no sense. And in the comics at times, it's his father was doing it, his father passed away, and he had to step in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd seen an Alfred that was willing to step in when other people needed him and fill roles and almost be a bit of a chameleon in that respect, that would work.
Yeah.
But where we left off with his father here, his father is never going to work for the Waynes.
No.
It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And Esme, the first love interest for Alfred, had that theater opportunity that got shuffled to the side, missed opportunity.
Well, and he didn't stay in touch with any of her friends.
No, not at all. The whole theater scene goes away, and there's a point at which the whole bar scene goes away.
Yeah.
Or the fancy bar.
Yeah.
The bar they hang out with is the whole time. But the bar owner's daughter, you know, Alfred gets with for a bit, and I thought that was gratuitous.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of, you know, almost shuffled off to the side as Alfred gets another kind of love interest there at the end, which I thought was utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
And it seemed like, in my opinion, again, not having watched all of Gotham, that Bruno Heller, who's behind that show, liked the Alfred character. So, you know, it'd be fun to do something of an earlier kind of an Alfred, but also that he had some other kind of spy intrigue set in London thing he wanted to do and thought he could use the Alfred Pennyworth character to sell a series and do this other story instead.
Yeah.
And just borrow some of the names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I think Alfred, I think the Alfred from Batman in 66.
Yeah. Classic take. He's a very reserved British butler.
Well, and he was the ultimate facilitator.
The facilitator, the man behind the scenes, the invisible help at times, but always there.
Yeah.
And there was a polish and class to that Alfred. This Alfred, granted he's much younger, just doesn't have. And we see a little of that kind of attitude in his father at times. But even then, his father, while being a butler, is not the subservient or helpful or the believer, I guess, that his would be needed to be Batman's butler.
His father was all over the board.
Oh, yeah. There was a time where Alfred and his father just were you know, at each other's throats almost, and then it just kind of faded away and he's fine.
I mean, there was a time when I was pretty sure he was an alcoholic, and that kind of faded away.
There was a point where early on where it seemed like he had been abusive towards the wife.
Yep.
That goes away.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things where I don't feel the characterization of many of these people were consistent enough throughout the run. And there are going to be people who watch the show and absolutely love it. And that's cool. It's just the show was absolutely not for me.
Yeah.
Again, the way they treated the one character who's the leader of the Raven Society, I literally found disgusting.
Yeah.
And
I want to know how they sold a second season. What they sold people on that made them say, yes, let's go produce that. Because to me, all they did really was work at tearing apart a country.
Yeah.
They brought evil out of the shadows, or brought secret societies causing disruption out of the shadows.
They leave the UK in a state of chaos. And Alfred being almost the James Bond character. That can save that has saved the day twice.
And if he hadn't, he'd be running for his life because he would be ending up in Newgate.
But I mean, to save the day the way he did, what, twice in a week in a, you know, he can write his own ticket in this country kind of way, was a little ludicrous or unbelievable. But then to end it the way they did, on such a almost explosive finale. I mean, there was a point where we're starting this last episode and it's like, do we think they're going to wrap it up in the time they have? And I'm like, no, not at all. They can't. They'd amped it up too much. And as it was, they did a bit of a resolution, a bit of an epilogue, and then, oh wait, here's our little, you know, encore climax kind of thing.
Well, one of the failures for me in the show was the villains. And I think Bette Sykes is a great example of one of the ones that fell short.
Yes, I would agree. She almost felt like a watered-down British Harley Quinn. A little crazy, almost falls madly in love with whomever, can be kind of loyal, but just not all there.
Yeah.
And there were a few places where the various British accents and stuff like that, and the delivery of some of the lines, I'm like, what did they say? And some of it may have also been the the jargon of the time.
Yes.
It's like, because there was one, I'm like, what did you say? And you repeated it back. I'm like, that's what I heard. I don't know what it means either.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed in quite a bit of this. I don't think it was a poorly done show. It was just not the show I wanted to watch.
Yeah, that's a good way to phrase it.
And it hit some definite hot button issues for me that it's like, that alone is enough to make me think, nah, if we were not watching it together with the intent of recording this episode, I don't know if I would have gone past probably the third episode tops.
I'd agree.
Depending when some of the stuff happened with the leader of the Raven stuff, that probably would have been enough for me to say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, when you asked me if we wanted to stop, my answer was basically, if we stop now, we're never returning. And we were planning to record about it. So it's either we stop now and don't record, or we complete it, so we've completed it.
Well, and what's funny is I've got a couple of the seasons of Gotham on Blu-ray, plus, you know, on the DVR, I think, still. We got 5 episodes into the second season.
Yeah, sounds right.
And they literally chop off a guy's, you know, hand or whatever, and I'm like, no, I'm not interested in that. And it wasn't the only kind of gory-ish thing they'd done. I have a low tolerance for that. I'm just squeamish. Don't care for that. And this did nothing to make me think, you know what, we ought to go catch up on Gotham.
But I can cover my eyes. I can look away. If it contributes to the plot, if it has payoff later. I mean, like, have you watched all of Prison Break yet?
I have not watched any of Prison Break yet.
Prison Break has a few things. They're
Grey's
gory,
Anatomy.
But it has payoff.
Grey's Anatomy was one where they would have some pretty horrific accidents or whatever that they've got to, you know, clean people up and fix them or whatnot. But it was germane to the plot. You could argue whether it was germane to the story.
Yeah.
Because it was a character story. But that's what they do. That was the nature of it and stuff. And when it was one of those that the early seasons I felt had a better balance, when it got a little more gratuitous, that's when I bowed out of that.
Yeah. Well, and I bowed out of Grey's Anatomy when it tipped too far for me into soap opera territory.
Mm-hmm.
When it went so into being character stuff that we've finally gotten a couple together and now we are creating an artificial reason for them to break up because we need that drama. We need that.
It's funny you say that because I think where Pennyworth might have benefited was to have a little bit more of the soap opera stuff, particularly with Thomas and Martha.
Yes.
And a little bit more emotional storylines.
I think there was a lot of stuff they felt they implied between Thomas and Martha, and they thought they did it through Thomas's sister.
That brings up the whole devil-worshipping orgy cult that was seen, not explained, and then just kind of vanishes.
Yeah. I mean,
as does the sister.
There's a part, well, you know, sisters, they vanish. There's a part
I'm okay with that.
Thanks. There is a part of me that wonders, as long as these episodes were, and they were longer than your standard 42 minutes.
They were 55-ish.
How much footage went to the editing room floor?
I don't know. When you're doing something like this, you've got to have an idea of what your runtime's going to be. So if a lot went to the cutting room floor, that's on them.
Well, and I mean, even if it's script pages that were written and then decided, okay, we can't film that, but how much is it that they wanted to do and decided can't make it to the screen?
I mean, that may be the case, but I don't have any slack I can give them for that, given that Bruno Heller himself wrote, I think, half the episodes. They were directed by one of the other executive producers in many cases. I think one or two of them wrote some of the episodes. I mean, there were 10 episodes, and they were hands-on for this.
Yeah. Well,
if this is not their vision, bad on them. I just increasingly don't care for their vision.
Well, as soon as Alfred met Esme, it was basically she has to die. That has to be part of his tragic backstory. Otherwise, why are we needing her now?
Yes. If it had been a way to get him into the theater world or something like that, that would have been cool. And I think there's a lot of class stuff they could have done in that area, too.
And they seemed to consider doing that and then backed off.
Yeah, I just wish this was more about figuring out who Alfred was versus saving the UK from this bizarre political intrigue.
Yeah. The other thing they did that I'm still kind of tweaked about is having Alfred and Martha kiss and possibly date.
Yeah, I just...
It was a kind of a, why did you do that? Why did you throw that in there?
And then it is almost as if it never happened.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things where they seem to go down avenues and say, you know what, let's double back.
They wanted a reason for Alfred to not get home earlier. They should have made a better reason, even if it was something that, you know, if she had said, stay with me, have a cup of tea with me, I need to calm down a little after the rough night we just had on that mission.
Yeah.
And he had prioritized his partner on the mission over his future partner in life. That is an equal regret to what they gave him.
Yeah, I just...
But instead, they gave him a kiss with Martha, and now I'm looking at this character going, but you're going to become loyal to her and her husband for all time and help raise their child.
I still don't see that happening with this Alfred. I don't get why he would leave the UK. I don't get why he would work for the Waynes. And not to say they can't get there. They probably can, but...
I feel they've written themselves an uphill battle, particularly for me as a viewer.
Yeah. Well, and I never got any kind of explanation as to why Thomas Wayne, who doesn't really seem to believe in anything, is working for the CIA doing these sorts of things. He's not a particularly good spy.
No.
So I don't get how they think this is a prequel to the Batman mythos. Or, again, this is why I wonder if they were using a series they thought they could sell to tell another story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed with that, and it's certainly not the kind of prehistory to Alfred that I was hoping to get.
I get that. So, going back to other Alfreds we've seen on screen, because, I mean, like, I know I love the one from 66.
That's you got the Batman 66 one, that's a classic one. You've got the Michael Caine one from those films. You've got...
I loved the one they did in Gotham, what we watched of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a...
Sean Pertwee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job.
And I could see where this one could turn into that one over time, maybe. But I don't know, maybe.
See, and that's what I wondered. If the Pennyworth character we got here could grow into any of the Alfreds we know and love. I see
similarities between this one and the one from Gotham, obviously. But, and I'd have to rewatch the pilot for Gotham to see what we know about Thomas and Martha. Because I don't see those two being from this.
No.
And that Alfred had he's supposed to be a butler, but he's a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Which made sense for what they were doing in Gotham and stuff. And I was going to say makes sense here, but that's not what they're doing here. Here's just a guy who's a 10-year, you know, army vet who's still a little rough around the edges in some ways, but not others.
Trying to set up a personal security business, because that's what he thinks his skills will do.
I'm curious how long this show lasts and what direction they take it, and if this is supposed to be connected to the Gotham stuff or not. It's just such a more violent take on the character.
Well, when I googled what time is it set in, the answer I got was a dystopic 60s.
What I saw on Wikipedia was a 50s-60s hybrid in an alternate history. I couldn't get grounded on the Batman mythos side of it, the time frame side of it, the politics side of it, the characterizations. Mm-hmm. Again, I think this is something that some people are going to absolutely love, and that's cool. But what I wanted out of it and what it delivered didn't match. And that's bad on me. I should have done a little more research and realized it was going to have this mature aspect to the storytelling, this gory aspect to the storytelling. And frankly, probably should have just avoided it.
But I think my expectation that it was on our basic Earth was reasonable.
Yes. When we started getting, like, the televised executions and stuff, and, you know, the people locked in the pillars or whatever on the street or whatever, that did not reek of the 60s to me.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't know British history, so... But it felt unmoored in time in a distracting and bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was frustrated by that. Again... we've watched a season of this, season and 5 episodes of Gotham. I've watched all of The Mentalist.
As have I.
I did not watch Heller's other show, Rome or something like that.
Oh, I didn't realize he did Rome.
I think so. I could be wrong on that. He did some other show, and I thought it was at least set in Rome. I
don't know.
But at this point, the odds of me seeking out another one of his shows drops considerably. and is more likely to happen if it's on network television and therefore isn't likely to be as adult and gory and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mentalist started out much stronger than it ended.
Yeah, and most of the episodes he wrote, I think, were the Red John episodes.
Yeah, I see. That's interesting, because those were not among my favorites.
Yeah, I like the character more than I liked that arc.
Yeah.
So, like I said, they're doing a second season of this. Some people may actually, like I said, love the show or whatever. For me, wasn't what I wanted. And it would take a significant tonal change and storyline change for me to come back for a second season. I'm not ruling it out entirely, but it would need something, be it a hey, there's this particular actor I'm really curious about, or this direction they're going to go, or something like that, to make me think I need to watch that.
Yeah, I think my takeaway is I wish I'd known going in it's not the Batman universe I know and I'm familiar with. It's not our Earth. It's not a familiar time period.
I certainly would have liked knowing that going in. I would have liked to know the naming aspect.
Yeah.
That, in and of itself, I would have said, yeah, not watching this.
Well, to me, I guess I wish I'd gone in thinking of it more like sci-fi fantasy.
I think they could have and should have done a better job setting the tone for that by not giving us a time frame early on, or at least not one that I noticed. I kept trying to figure out when is this happening. I tried to anchor somewhere, mm-hmm. and they just kept dodging, and in a way that I think we spent more of our time while watching it trying to figure out what was going on with that aspect and the plot. It was too much of a distraction, and yeah. It didn't benefit the show.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like I said, they're doing a second season. Don't expect us to watch it and talk about it. There's enough other shows out there on the air that are more likely to be in my comfort zone and stuff. That's where I'm going to spend my time.
I agree.
So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.